These early weeks of September seem to carry with them a feeling of fresh start and new beginning. Even if you are not directly connected anymore to the start of school, the feeling is still in the air. It's a part of church life. We name this Sunday Kickoff Sunday, as we go back to having two services of worship, as education programs begin, as small groups reunite after summer hiatus, everybody coming back together for some new rhythms of life and worship and discipleship together. And part of what I love about the new beginning feel of this time of year, and we get another one at the new year, is the psychic and the spiritual space to start over again. If this last season was a hard one for you, you can just turn the page and start all over. And I suspect that most of us, maybe all of us, at different points in our journey of life and faith, we need these kind of markers where we can turn the corner and feel as if we are leaving some struggle or suffering behind us as we step into some new light and a new day. Maybe that is exactly where you are sitting today, eager for a new start. Maybe even, if truth be told, desperate for one. Maybe you've been struggling with a part of your life lately that has just felt like it is coming unraveled. Maybe it's not you, someone you love, who has gotten lost, and you cannot seem to find them and bring them back. And so as you listen to this text for today from Luke about the religious elite who look down their self-righteous noses at the company that Jesus keeps, and you hear him say that Jesus welcomes sinners, you take a really deep breath of relief, because then maybe that means there is place at this table that Jesus sets for you and for me and for those we love. After all the weak and the weary, the rejected, the broken, these are the ones that Jesus gravitated toward to make friends. And in the parable that Jesus shares today, he makes very clear that he does this because this is what God does. God is like the fool for a shepherd who leaves the 99 in order to go pursue the one who is lost. Now, if you were in shepherding for economic gain, let me just say this practice would not be listed in the top 10 of best practices. It's not wise, right? God is like the woman who, having 10 coins and after losing one, she lights a lamp, moves the furniture, sweeps until she finds that lost coin. And when God finds the one who's lost, it tells us that the heavens themselves erupt into rejoicing. Now remember who this parable is told for. It's for the religious elites, the ones looking down their noses, the ones who are clear about who is unworthy, the very ones God says are the most valuable. This text from Luke and this passage from 1 Timothy, they reveal to us God's heart, how God is oriented toward us. At just the moment when we feel like we are kind of desperately hanging on to the single thread of the cord that binds our heart to God's, that's exactly when God turns toward us with the utmost patience, revealing to us God's unlimited love. I'd like to just stop there, wouldn't you? Kind of bask in that truth about God. That's not the only texts we have today, and not the only picture of God's heart that is before us. Sometimes our struggling, our suffering, our lostness comes as a result of our own wrong-headed, stubborn, foolish, mean-spirited choices, right? Let's tell the truth. That image I just painted of someone who is holding on to the last thread of the cord that binds God's heart to ours, that's the image of someone who is oriented toward God trying to hang on. And that is not the only reason or way people get lost or struggle, am I right? Right? The picture Jeremiah has before us today is of a very different scenario. Here, the cord linking God's heart to the heart of God's people is being strained because the people of God are running full speed in the opposite direction of God. This cord is being strained because it's a tug of war, not because someone's desperately trying to hang on. And the image that Jeremiah paints for us includes some rather startling language. The rage that erupts from God when that strained cord has been pulled so far that all that remains is a thin, bare thread, and it's pulled again for the 100th time and finally breaks. The rage that comes forward from God in that moment is pretty frightening. It's like the rage of Jesus when he takes some cords and fashions them into a whip and goes through the temple clearing it out with the tables turning. Did you hear Jeremiah today? Did you hear what I said about Jeremiah a couple of weeks ago when I tried to make the case that the judgment of the prophets, the judgment of Jesus when he's in a prophetic mode, was for the purpose of grabbing our attention and was really like the hot flame of a refiner's fire for the purpose of purifying us. Do you remember that? What does Jeremiah say today? A hot wind comes toward my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. And there it is, our worst fear. That we really can go too far, that we really can break that cord that unites our heart to God's, that God's love is limited, and we, or people we love, have just found that outer limit and fallen beyond it. It's really helpful to remember when we're listening to the prophets that the prophets speak as poets, giving voice to the urgency and the pathos of God. Abraham Heschel was this brilliant Jewish rabbi and theologian in the 20th century, and he really brought this idea to the fore when reading the prophets, that what the prophets really do is bring the pathos of God to the people of Israel and through them to us. And it can be a little bit hard to swallow this image of God we get here of, you know, deeply invested in human history, responsive to the choices that we as human beings make. It doesn't square very well with that last couple of lines that Stephen read today about the immortal, invisible God who is majestic. Gordon did a brilliant job last week of kind of wrestling with all of that with us last week. But I think it helps to remember what the word pathos means. Like, for instance, in acting, when an actor uses that technique of pathos, what they're doing is trying to elicit an emotional response in the audience, to try to tap some of those feelings that we as human beings all have, but might not be on the surface at the moment. They try to reach in and grab those and bring them up to the surface. It's a form of communication, a kind of rhetoric. And the prophet does it brilliantly here today, captures so very well in this passage the excruciating pain that comes when you watch someone you love destroying themselves right in front of your eyes. You only rage like this when you love someone that much. If you didn't care, there would never be that intensity of anger. So hidden in this text that seems to be sketching out the limits of God's love is, in fact, another promise of God's unlimited love for humankind, for you and for me. And it's buried right in the middle of the raging in this part of the text. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void. And to the heavens, and there was no light. Does that ring any bells? Do you hear the echo of Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2? The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Sometimes things really do unravel all the way. Sometimes things do break that can never be put back together in the same way ever again. And when you are sitting in that space, it can feel very much like you have gotten to the outer limits of God's love and have fallen off. But you haven't. Because even in the utter waste and void, where there is no light, we hear in Genesis 1 that the wind of God, in Hebrew the Ruha, the Spirit of God, sweeps over that space and begins to separate light from darkness, and creation is born. This picture from Jeremiah, it belongs in the gallery of God's unlimited love right next to Luke 15, because this is God's heart for us. And that means that today is a new chapter and a new start, and not because school is starting, and not because church life is gearing up. It's a new start because it's a new day. And if you need to be reminded, just get up a little early tomorrow morning. Go out before the dawn. Watch as the light separates from the darkness, and God's daily work of creation and recreation begins again. Amen.